Hello, is this Dr. Troll?
Yeah, speaking.
A few years ago, we heard about an evil troll professor that built a mirror. Not very strange, you might think to yourself. Trolls build all sorts of things all the time.
Vanities, shelves, TV stands.
Ottomans, Davenports, Murphy beds, and of course mirrors.
Like many troll mirrors, this one didn't reflect reality. It only reflected ugliness.
Anyone who looked into it saw only what was bad.
About themselves, about the world around them, about anything, really.
You've probably seen a mirror like this at a flea market or a garage sale. You know, the ones that make you go, ooh.
These are made so that trolls can play tricks on individuals.
On guardian angels, on billy goats, on talking trees, or wish-granting fish, or girls that read a bunch. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's just fun messing with people.
We all know it's unlucky to break a mirror.
Oh, it's very unlucky. Which is good. The bad thing, you're out of a mirror, and those do take time to make.
Something you have to understand is that this troll made the biggest cursed mirror ever. He and his troll friends wanted to play a trick on all of the angels in heaven at once.
That was the plan.
But it broke before you could get into heaven.
Yeah.
And it broke in the sky, not on the ground.
Yeah.
From Black Forest Public Radio, it's The Grim Life, distributed by Howl FM. We are the Sisters Grimm.
Today, Smoke and Mirrors, a story of a young boy
who shall remain anonymous due to his age
and his descent into melancholia after tiny pieces of evil mirror made their way into his body.
Stay with us.
When I was 8 years old, a shard of magic mirror that distorts the world around it to reflect only what is bad entered my heart. But that's not where this story begins. The story begins at a backyard party in Williamsburg. No, not that Williamsburg. Put away your preconceptions of flannel fedoras and Arcade Fire sing-alongs. This was Williamsburg, Sweden, and the party was a birthday party. My birthday party, my 8th. I remember I was wearing a new jacket, and I was so proud of it because it looked so much like the one my father wore on special occasions, with big gold buttons and a silk lining that I loved to sneak into his cupboard and touch.
I mean, he liked touching soft fabrics, but otherwise he was a normal kid, real polite.
This is the boy's father, Adalbert.
So it was a nice jacket?
It was fine.
Can you describe the jacket?
It was an okay jacket. It's really not that important.
Oh, it sounds really nice, though.
My sweetheart Gerda came by with a decanter of hot rosehip soup and poured me a cup. I was living the dream. I still had dreams. Little did I know that at that very moment, some dastardly troll was forging a mirror that distorted people's views of the world and made everything that was good appear ugly and terrible, and teaching other smaller trolls to do the same. Why would anybody want to do that? I don't know. But the mirror smashed and all these tiny shards of malice came raining through the sky.
Ew, what are you gonna do?
A couple of them flew right into my eye and heart. Yeah. Ouch. All of a sudden, I felt nothing but hatred. Zip. Like zero to sociopath in under 3 seconds.
He became difficult. He was at the top of his animal husbandry class, and then out of nowhere, it was as if inseminating cattle was the last thing you'd want to be doing.
I was like the angstiest teen you could have ever imagined, and I was barely 8.
Did he still like your jacket?
What is it with you people in my jacket? It was a completely unremarkable jacket.
It sounded like such a nice jacket. Does he still have it? Do you still have it? Oh, man, why'd I get one of those jackets?
Lady...
Everything annoyed me. Flowers, dancing, a cappella music, rosehip soup, boring, my new jacket into the garbage.
Oh, no, he threw the jacket away. Ugh.
Even Swedish treats such as waffler, klapgrot, punschrulle might as well have been tasteless whaling for Flugel. Most of all, I despised Gerda's dumb love for me.
It was a shame about his little girlfriend, but I was more concerned about his reading, comprehension, and speech.
Oh, yeah. Now, how do you pronounce all those Swedish words?
My parents had me tested, of course. And when a nice upper-middle-class white kid like me suddenly goes bad, well, that's like striking the mother lode to a child psychologist.
Had you seen anything like his condition before?
No.
I talked to his therapist, Dr. Hang Flugen.
We did everything we could.
You name it, they diagnosed me with it. Bipolar, unipolar, tripolar, borderline personality, hypoanxiety, psychopathic schizophrenia, and for a short while, lupus.
Would you say that you, at any point, intentionally took advantage of the boy's financial resources? Maybe you thought you could take his nice jacketed parents for a ride?
No, not at all. We just had never seen anything like it before. We used the latest medical findings to help diagnose him.
With each diagnosis came a new round of meds. But nothing helped, because what every doctor missed was the tiny slivers of darkness burying themselves ever deeper in my right ventricle and cornea.
Regrettably, we never looked for mirror pieces, even though we now know millions of other people suffered from similar afflictions. We just didn't have a test for subdermal troll glass.
I had a mirror piece stuck under my fingernail. I hated pointing after that, even though it used to be my favorite thing to do.
I had nothing going for me. I alienated my family and friends. Even if they wanted to look out for me, I was too distant. I would hide everything from them.
Did you have any idea how bad it got?
Yes, but, you know, we had 9 other children, so it didn't seem that important. You know, that's why you have so many.
I wandered the streets doped up on different cocktails of uppers and downers, looking for something, anything that would make me feel.
I tried to confront him, but he wouldn't listen to me.
This is the voice of his girlfriend, Gerda.
Girlfriend, is that appropriate? They're 8.
They love each other.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I loved ponies when I was 8. Didn't mean I was girlfriend.
Some people are into that.
All right.
I traded my prescriptions for street drugs, and I did them all. Angeldust, Nasagodis, crack cocaine, fantasy hast, Guayuelin salad, and even chamomile.
Chamomile like the tea?
Yeah, but the Swedish variety is very potent and will make you very drowsy indeed.
All of which made me a prime target for abduction.
I remember realizing he might have been abducted when 5 of my other 9 children died from typhoid, and I finally had the mental bandwidth to realize he was gone.
Y'all ever hear of the Snow Queen? The lady who hypnotizes children with her poison kisses and makes them solve puzzles in her ice palace? She was a big deal a few years ago. Never caught. She's still active. And nobody even talks about her anymore. I think it's because she hypnotizes journalists with her money. But who knows? Sometimes things just go away. Even when you don't want them to.
We reached out to the Snow Queen, but her fragile state meant that she was unable to give us any comment.
But she was able to give us a lot of money.
It's unrelated to the story. She just decided to give us some money and we took it.
They warn you to stay away from witches, but they don't tell you about magic queens. And I didn't know I was getting kidnapped. She seemed so great. Like, I thought I'd finally found someone who got me. And she got me, all right. Yep, she got me.
Snow Queen? Yeah, she took the 4 remaining of my other 9 children. Or was it 11? You know what? I forget. Honey?
Yes?
How many kids do we have?
13?
I know at a certain point you have to take agency for your own actions, but literally I was 8 and was cursed. Anyway, this perverted lady kissed me and made me forget who I was, and she took me off to her snowy castle. But Gerda, okay, remember Gerda?
Hello?
She never forgot about me. She still loved me even though I abandoned her, threw out her soup, and called her a moose-brained elf child.
How did that make you feel?
I knew he didn't mean it, and I've been called worse than that. Pine-fingered mushroom baby, secondhand IKEA cabinet.
Gerda found me huddled, nearly frozen to death on an iced over lake, demented, pushing little pieces of ice around. She hugged me and the little mirror pieces in my heart melted away because of her love. I cried, which dislodged the mirror piece in my eye, too. I was reborn.
I wouldn't be quick to dismiss the medical treatment he received, either. If hugs cured depression, well, I guess they are nice.
I could once again enjoy life, my lovely Gerda and my favorite Swedish tasties. Biskui, Kringla, Princess Tarta, Araxbol, Budapest Baxele, Schmupaj, Gotlengst, Safran Pankaka.
Man, we really gotta get him back in school, like ASAP.
So why am I telling you this story? Well, because maybe somewhere out there there's a little boy or girl with a shard of evil troll glass lodged inside of them. And right now, it probably hurts. But I'm here to tell them that it gets better. There are people who love you even though you can't feel it right now. And someday you will eat your favorite rosehip soup and it will taste of heaven once more. Unless, of course, you are a forsaken troll. Trolls are horrible.
Oh yeah, we're the worst.
This episode of The Grim Life was created by Siobhan Thompson and Anna Rubinova. It was edited by Adam Bozarth and Anna Rubinova. Smoke and Mirrors featured Joe Firestone as the boy, Brett White as Dr. Troll, Grant O'Brien as the father, Mike Trapp as the therapist, and Katie Maravich as Gerda. The Grim Life is a left-handed radio quality product, a Howl original, and a production of Midroll Media. Did I get all those names right?
Hello, it's the Sisters Grimm. Thank you so much for listening to our show on Howl.
Check back next week for the next episode.
But in the meantime, there is a lot of other stuff on here that we think that you would like.
Such as The Mysterious Secrets of Uncle Bertie's Botanarium.
A ridiculously funny show starring Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords.
In it, he plays a ship commander on a mission to find a plant known to be the very source of pleasure in the world. Which I think is just called marijuana.
Or check out Fruit from Issa Rae. Fruit is about a pro football player named X on a journey of self-discovery and sexual exploration, both on and off the field.
And then it says ad lib here, but I don't know what that means.
Uncle Bertie and Fruit are only available right here on Howl Premium. Check them out today.